Last orders at the bar, please.
Welcome to Tavern Tales. These are the adventures of The Rookies, a curated actual play of the tabletop role-playing game Masks, a New Generation from Magpie Publishing. Previously on Tavern Tales, the Rookies have faced off against Nimrod. Will they learn anything about what's going on? How will they defeat this radioactive threat before them?
Come sit down and drink with the enemy. Raise a glass and toast to the enemy. And I'm not gonna do this on my own. So come sit down and laugh with the enemy. Raise a glass and sing to the enemy. And I'm not gonna do this on my own. So I won't end up being alone. Cause I won't drink my drink alone. So what about you? One beer or two? I'll drink to you.
And we're back! We're counting down the hits of the superhero team known at the time as the Rookies. I'm Vern Tales, and when we last left, it was a bit of a slog trying to recount for you the team's attempt to break into the Jacobs Estates. Fences aside, and roofs and windows as well, our team had finally confronted Nimrod himself. Except for George Grady. So let's take it back as we remember what happened with George Grady in the van outside the Jacob Estates.
Should I describe it?
Sure. Guess.
George was all gung-ho to go with his friends, but excused himself because he wasn't feeling 100%. So he spotted a porta potty, and you just see kind of like 5 minutes later. So sure. He goes in and you can see he's touching his stomach and it's very clear he's in distress. His face is a little bit green. Goes in, 5 minutes later comes out and he's all smiles like, oh, so much better. And we don't need any more information.
Cool. I want to add that there was a, like, we watched the drive again. We get that drive back to the Jacob Estates, not this estates, which we described so thoroughly last time, but we get the drive up there solely because there's like George spotting a porta potty near a construction site, like 5 miles back. And George is like, I'll just be a moment. And all we see then is a big overlay and the purple blur of George following the trail back to use that porta potty by that construction site, and then 5 minutes solely on the porta potty itself, just a simple drawing of the porta potty and 5 minutes, and then the blur returning and George is back at the van, hand on the van itself, the other hand on his knee, little pant, big grin on his face, and he looks at the fence. It is this wrought iron fence, a little rusted, very beautiful, has Jacob's Estates across it in wrought iron work as well. Big spear type points at the top of it. It stands about 12 feet tall. It's double opening gates up to this huge sprawling expanse of an estate. The gates are closed. How does George surmount the gates?
He's going to go up to the gate itself and just check to see if it's locked or if he can just walk through.
It is locked.
Okay. Can he attempt to like vibrate the lock? I'm assuming it's just an analog or like regular old, I don't know, deadbolt lock or something. I don't know how to describe locks. Something that he can vibrate so fast that it breaks is what he is attempting to do.
All right. A whole bunch of rust flies off of it, but no, it does not break.
I wonder where all my friends are. They would know what to do.
No, he wouldn't.
Cool. I like that. And then we go like the Rookies is the next page, right? I wonder what my friends do. They'd know how to get through that. Flip the page. The Rookies. The cover of this episode's, this session, this comic book, also once again, because I'm really liking the idea, has alternative covers. The principal main non-variant cover, though, has the 5 members of the team spelling out the word rookie, but that has 6 letters, so that wasn't really doable.
X pays like 2 of those because she's stretchy and, you know.
The panel has, it's a big spread, Nimrod, who is this individual inside of a glowing radioactive, almost looks like Juggernaut helm, rounded dome helmet like Mysterio or Juggernaut has. And this armor exists like a foot to a foot and a half outside of him. And he moves inside this glowing ethereal armor, hovering inside of it. And when he moves his fists and whatnot, the arms move as well outside, because he's very small in comparison to the size of this big glowing armor. He has an unconscious George laid out on the ground before him, and his fist is coming down to destroy him utterly, while X-Pay, Terry Chase, and Bo are all trying to fend him off on different sides. Like, Bo's got an wrapped around one of his armored shoulders, and X-Pay is trying to grab him from the side and manipulate him, and Terry Chase is wielding the De La Vega sword and is trying to stab into the armor, while George basically lays there broken and battered, a la at the end of the first Avengers movie when they're all broken and battered in the ground, sort of thing. This is the main cover of the comic, and so yours are the variant covers. And that's where we have for the main cover. So we start this way and go this way, and you can introduce yourselves and what your alternate cover looks like.
Hi, my name is Chelsea. I play Terry Chase, and on my cover of the rookies that I have here, it is George and the General on there, and George is in a weird kind of squat position, and he's got his hands out like he's about to, you know, like with if you're giving like a cheerleader a boost up, and you have your hands are interlinked.
Mm-hmm.
He's got that going on, then the General's stepping into it, and he looks like George is about to throw him upwards.
Huh. That's cool. What are their expressions?
It seems to be that there's something kind of tendrily and black and ominous at the top of the cover. And the General is doing like a giant fist up into the sky, and it's glowing. And George's face is like super hard, concentrated. And same with the General. And it looks like they're about to go and fight something that's creepy.
Ooh. Fighting together.
Working together. Yeah. All right. I love it.
Hi, I'm Paige, and I play X-Pay. And on this cover, it is very different than that cover for once. It is a black and white cover, and it has the feeling of an old detective show.
Ooh, film noir.
Yeah, exactly. And there are two silhouettes, one standing, and you can see the silhouette of a gun, and you see just lines of smoke, and one on the ground. The only color on the entire cover is a piece of red in the center of the silhouette, and you cannot tell which one is the General and which one is George.
Ah, cool.
Oh my. What's the gun look like?
Like an old pistol. Like your classic.
Classic revolver?
Yeah.
Love it.
It's a Winchester.
That's not a revolver.
No, it's not.
That's a really big gun.
Holding it over their shoulder.
So I need Paige to get out of my head, because mine's not the same, but similar.
This happens every week with somebody.
Always you though, Paige. You're in our heads.
Are five players at the table. And so there are oftentimes only so many themes that can be explored with a given subject matter, right?
I'm psychic, guys. Yep.
So mine's a bit different though. So the cover is mostly purple, like George's purple. And that's because of the center of the page, the image of George and the General. So the George is in black and George is in white, and they're kind of shaped like a yin yang. So George is obviously the white and the General is black.
Yeah. The white, because it's thinner at the top, bulgier at the bottom, and the black is bigger on the top and thinner on the bottom, just like George and the General.
Yes, and they fit perfectly into each other. And right. The artist somehow has a bit of the black in the white and the white in the black. Just, I'm not sure exactly how that look. I'm not an artist, but right, the artist is really good. So they figure out something to accentuate to make that circle, right, that you see in a yin yang. So there's some feature that's black in George, and there's some feature that's white in the General, like something there in their clothing or something. But it's drawn very simply. So my thought was kind of like Spy versus Spy. So very simple, kind of cartoony look. And then, yeah, the rest of it is just purple. So it's kind of a simple cover.
Wow, I love it.
Hello, I'm Marie Claire. I play Adora Smith, who aka is Bo. Yes. And this variant cover, which was actually quite controversial, and George's biggest fan was like, no, this is not really... Anyways, George is standing there and he's looking innocently, except for the fact that his hands are outstretched and they're covered in blood. And he is casting a shadow back, which as the shadow hits far enough back, it is actually the general.
I love that.
Wow.
Cool.
Is this how my character sees your character, George?
Probably.
Allison, maybe.
Maybe.
But, you know, somebody sees it that way.
So it's the start of the game, and I will add a team to the pool. And we now have three team in the pool. Your characters are, and we will start not with George at a fence, because that's, you figure out how to get over that fence, George. We will start not with Nimrod spying Terry Chase and confronting Terry Chase, who has told Nimrod the name George Grady. I know him, and gotten a reaction from Nimrod. We'll not start with Bo on the stairs looking down at Nimrod about to crush poor little Terry Chase. We will instead turn to Salarian and X-Pay in the room with that guy whose skin kind of looked like that blue-gray, whose forehead ends, like whose head ends halfway up his forehead, and it's just this flat plane of clay-like substance past that, with Alejandra in a gliding rocking chair unconscious behind, as this guy looks at Salarian just before X-Pay drops down, I would like to say, because maybe that didn't happen last game and you dropped down and the conflict was about to occur, but there is a moment between them and then there is a pop and both vanish from sight. The pop happens, the vanish is slow. So they slowly fade away from like existence as you're falling, X-Pay. You land, superhero pose, you know, knee down, foot, hand down, shoulder back. No one in the room but you and Alejandra behind you. And you can hear just outside the room, down the stairwell, you hear Bo's sharp intake of breath, and you hear Terry confront Nimrod. What do you do?
Just because I saw Nimrod and I saw how much of a threat that he's going to be, I'd like to try and wake Alejandra up, because X-Pay thinks that she would be a valuable asset to help us in the fight.
So what do you do?
I will walk over to her and I will give her a double slap in the face.
Her head moves from one side to the other, not stirring at all. Not even a groan.
No.
You can tell she's breathing, and that is about all. What do you do?
I know my friends are in trouble, so I don't want to spend too much trying to wake her up. It's possible that she's maybe been drugged or something, and X-Pay, because they have been watching so much television, that's what they have deducted. So X-Pay is going to go and try and join the fight.
Awesome. You can take Alejandra with you, or you're going to leave Alejandra in the chair?
I'm going to leave Alejandra in the chair.
You leave Alejandra in the chair. As you turn to go, the roof reconstitutes above you, as though the things Salarian had done to the roof are undone to it.
The hole mends itself.
The hole in the roof comes back together and it's now a roof.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting.
In the same way that Solarian had made it into air or whatever it is he'd done, he's undone that.
It was temporary.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
All right. You head downstairs. All right. You join the fray, as it were. George, you're standing outside. You saw some activity on the roof. You saw some friends climb up the roof. And this was like, you've been gone for 5 minutes. Friends climbing over a roof. Roof disappear. Friends fall through the floor. And then the roof goes back to being a normal roof again. You're just standing outside the gate right now.
He just kind of puts his hands on his hips and is like, what? Always having fun without me. And he's going to run to the van and he's going to ram the gate. I hope Terry forgives me.
Cool. You are a football player. I was in some ways kind of hoping for a super speed shoulder check.
Yeah.
I think he's going to hurt himself. He does that.
Cool.
I thought it was going to be a super speed run and jump.
He doesn't jump.
Ever. So that is not something I've seen George do. So.
I could become a move though. Super speed run, jump and poof.
So just so you know, there is no cost for failure here. I just want to know what happens to the vehicle.
Yeah.
So what I want you to do is I want you to roll 2d6 as an unleash your powers. You're not really going to add anything to this. This isn't your vehicle. This is nobody's thing. I just want to know whether or not it's A, successful. But if you fail, you're not going to get potential, because ideally, this isn't a conflict. The conflict is between the vehicle and the gate.
Yeah.
So if you could roll the dice, that'll help me determine what happens to both.
The vehicle's going to get potential.
I got the 7.
And a 7 is success, but it's temporary.
Yeah.
So everyone hears the grinding, groaning, screaming crash of the wrought iron fence being ripped through by the vehicle as the vehicle comes roaring up. It is still fine. You are successful. Everyone has heard you come through the gate. Alarms start going off. Or some other cool, more, much cooler sound alarm. Did I do that? Did I do
that? Oh my God. Yeah. Friggin' Nimrod.
Alarms go off. The vehicle pulls up. It is pretty smashed up.
Damn it, guys.
I'm going to say there's...
It's not many of those.
Actually, why don't each of you describe a minor injury to the vehicle so that we can all get into the same shared headspace of what the hell George just did as he pulls the vehicle up and parks right in front of the front door.
So when he crashed through the gate, the metalwork that had Jacob Estates on it ended up being implanted pretty much into the front of the van.
Cool, yeah.
So that is just sitting on
the
like
grill of the vehicle.
The grill. It's like embedded in the grill, and now the van is called Jacob Estates.
No, it's called Cobest.
Oh, yeah.
Jacob Estates has C-O-B-E-S-T, and of course the rest of it was too long, so C-O-B-E-S-T is embedded in it. It's Cobest.
It's Cobest, yeah.
Yeah. Or Cobesta?
Cobesta.
Which one do you like?
Cobesta.
Cobesta is cool. Yeah, okay. Cobb Estates. Yeah, there you go. Cobesta. What else is wrong with the van?
Both of the mirrors are just hanging like sad little puppy ears.
Yeah, I love that. And they were the big ears because it was a longer van, right?
But the clickers would still work. The lights still work.
The
wiring
flashers?
Them. Yeah.
Or wait, there's flashers on the mirrors as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's
Oh, because it's an old 1970s vehicle.
Yeah, it had some upgrades.
Okay, cool.
I would assume.
The flashers still work. They're pointing the wrong way, though. I love it.
So you know how when you drive over a gate or whatever and a piece like falls off, it actually scraped the bottom of the drip pan. So it's not completely taken off, but there is a leaky little like cut up pee stream.
I totally
out.
Picture that when the vehicle's driving away, they see the stream of oil behind it. Yeah, I love that. That's
which is like not a great thing because your car kind of stops working after that.
Yep.
The antenna for the radio is bent and one of the headlights is smashed.
I love it.
Yeah.
Furthermore, the windshield on the passenger side has a head of the gate smashed through the front of it. So there's like a little sharp point literally looking at where the passenger in shotgun would see, and that there are cracks and fissures spreading out from that. And one long crack goes right across to the other side of the thing, and it goes right across the driver's
eyeline
vision of it. So it's almost like it's a little skewed because you can see that crack right in your eyeline. And that's... George pulls up to a stop out front of the doors. What do you do?
Well, that could have gone better. Terry's gonna kill me. Oh, shoot. I'm gonna pay for that one later. And he's gonna rush into the building that he saw everyone fall into.
Or a couple of people fall and jump into and whatnot. All right, you run into the building. All right. As George is about to run into the building, the door is open a tiny amount, just blows the door open and comes to a stop. And you see standing there confronting the 12-foot tall radioactive man of Nimrod, Rodney Jacobs. You see standing at the top of a double, like it's a single staircase that branches to a left and to a right to go to the left and right wings of this gigantic estate, which is a big U-shape, and there's a big long walkway. So there's a gap in the stairs. If you can picture it as the stairs branch, there's then a space in the air between that and the balcony, the walkway, the hallway at the top there. And then there's two sets of stairs that go up on the right and the left as well. And tumbling down those stairs comes X-Pay, and standing at the top of those stairs is Adora Smith. That's what George sees when they walk in. And you also see the eyes of Nimrod widen upon seeing the purple haze, George Grady. What do you do?
What have you done, you bully? He says, and he like points his finger at him, like very accusatory.
Cool. Roll to provoke.
Okay. 6 plus, I don't know what I add. I have to quickly, unless you can tell me.
Well, you're already -2 for provoking people because you're guilty.
Oh, yeah. So let's just say that's a failure. Probably.
It pretty much is going to be a failure.
Yeah.
When you go to provoke, you're rolling plus superior, which you're flat out 0 at.
Yeah.
So
that's a good old
that
three.
Is a definite failure.
Yeah.
So I'm going to mark potential for you since
Thank
I
you.
Have your character sheet. And you don't succeed at provoking your enemy or this individual. So I'm going to do this move that I'm allowed to as a result as because you're the innocent. And I'm going to show you an artifact of the past, which is literally your present. Because I want you to know that it was not even a month ago for you. Maybe 2 months ago. I don't know how long you've been here. But remember, even though it's been decades for Rodney Jacobs, it's been a short period of time since you called him a Nimrod. Mm-hmm. And you see the man in that suit. He looks almost the exact spitting image of Rodney Jacobs. This is where Rodney Jacobs lives. He went to Sam Smith High School. He was a terrible, terrible bully. And in his bully voice, when he bullied Cassandra on that day and you confronted him, he points his finger just like he did at you. And he says, just like he did on that day, just before you got blasted into the future, he says, "You're gonna get it." And I want you to roll to take a powerful blow.
An emotional one.
Exactly.
Yeah. I love it. I love it when people take powerful emotional blows. It's very satisfying.
What'd you roll?
A 7.
So that's an 8.
Okay.
Because you already have one condition.
Mm-hmm.
So when you roll to take a powerful blow, you have to choose one of those three options below. Are you going to lash out verbally, provoking a teammate to foolhardy action? Or are you going to take advantage over your influence over a teammate here to inflict a condition on them? Or are you going to give ground and your opposition will get an opportunity against you? Or are you going to struggle past the pain and mark two conditions?
I think that first one.
All right, you're going to yell at a teammate.
Yeah. X-Pay, why are you running away? We have to get him.
So you're provoking X-Pay to foolhardy action of just rushing Nimrod.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Do you do it?
I mean, yeah. X-Pay wants, like, they're coming to help.
Just confusing you.
Just very confused. Because I'm like, I was coming in.
Yeah. So note to self, George is a dick. And for some reason just picked on you after getting lashed out to by him. For that, I'm going to add a team to the pool just because this is a promise that's being made of this, once again, George telling you what to do. Mm. And I'm going to help the team later because of this struggle here
right
mean.
Now. You're so mean.
I'm complicated.
Yeah.
Yeah, XPI, I guess, rushes.
So we are now all here. When you enter battle against a dangerous foe as a team, I am now going to add an additional 2 team Ooh. To the pool.
Woohoo.
That's a lot of team.
So we need to determine who is the leader of the group. There is no Solarian here.
I don't think it's me, personally.
So I need to know who is the leader of the team.
I think it's XPay.
I think it's Terry, because Terry was the first one on scene.
I'm good with Terry as well. It's just not me.
Okay.
I would say I think it's me too.
George also thinks it's Terry.
All right, so we're unified in the fact that we think that it is Terry who is the leader. This is like one of the first times where X-Pay is like, I'm not the leader.
Yeah.
So.
X-Pay just got forced to rush in.
Terry, do you have influence over these 3 other people?
Oh, actually, I do.
Excellent. So that means I'm going to add another team to the pool.
Ooh. It's the only influence I have. I just don't have it over Solarian. So
no one has influence over Solarian.
He's it.
Now we're going to determine if you all have the same purpose in the fight. What is your purpose in the fight, Terry Chase?
To either take down or get past Nimrod.
To take down Nimrod. I already found Alejandra.
What's your purpose in the fight there, George Grady?
Take down that stupid Nimrod.
Okay, that's fair. I want you to think more complicatedly.
Oh, no.
Because this is a direct tie to your past. Mm-hmm. And so if you just take down Nimrod, will that help you understand anything about what happened on that day? Nimrod was there. You don't know how you got here. He was there. You can't trust your fruit yourself to tell you. Not that you've even asked him. Cassandra was there. You didn't ask her. Nimrod was there.
Yeah.
He was the bully. You shoved Nimrod. He shoved you. You wound up in the future. He might know. And you've never inquired about it.
That's fair.
Ever.
I'm just thinking, like, with teenage brain, he's still angry about the fight that, and right, they never got to conclude that fight. That's all I was just thinking, that he's still like,
fair.
I'm angry at you still.
Take down Nimrod? Great. But do you want Nimrod knocked out? Do you want,
I want
Nimrod
him stopped,
killed?
I guess, right? Stop him so I can get that info. Yeah.
It's his house. You just broke into his house.
But he kidnapped a person.
That's what you've been told. Yes.
Yeah.
He kidnapped a person. So, yes. Keeping the motivation that you've currently got, mm-hmm. but I want you to think about how much more you need from this scene that I'm offering you.
Okay.
Because I want you to ask the questions.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's just me saying shit. Cool. Okay. What's your purpose in the fight?
Stop the Nimnarad and rescue Alejandra.
Known bad guy. Known bad guy superhero team. Take down Nimrod. Perfectly acceptable. Okay. So you all have the same purpose in the fight. I'm going to add.
Holy shit.
So, this is the most team
we gotta
we've
use
ever.
Another.
Yes. Oh my God. It's because Solarian's not here and he would just like, do something else.
I don't want to do what you're doing.
Does anyone have any reason to not trust Terry in this fight and in this scene at the Jacob Estates?
No.
No.
So technically, if Alejandra was suddenly like working for Nimrod, I guess that could cause something, but that would be like
that would
in the
make
moment.
You not trust Alejandra necessarily
yeah.
over Terry.
I mean, it would emotionally provoke Terry probably, but that's a lot of what ifs. And in the given the information that we currently have.
Okay.
I have no reason to not trust my good friend, Terry Chase.
So we have 2, 4, 6, 8
wow.
team in the pool.
Look at us, all the mad power.
However,
yeah.
It does say if your team is ill-prepared or off-balance, remove a team. And I think you could have gone about this in a much less
chaotic way.
Ill-prepared or off-balance way.
What
so
do you
while
mean, Kyle?
I know you are all ready for a fight... This is not the best way to have started it,
what?
So we're going to take away one team. This is still the most team yeah. you've ever begun a mission with, ever. Okay, so the fight is set up. Nimrod standing there in the big thing. We know where everyone is. However, at the top of this fight, you know how all of those guards ran off down the left? Right? Well, they've still gone. They're not coming back.
Okay.
Unless I use a move, they'll come back. But again, I want to point out, taking out the guards is probably, like, it's not going to cost you moves and whatnot. They are normal people. You can defeat normal people with the flick of a wrist, right? Even if they've got guns and whatnot, that's not a big deal for my superhero team in front of me. What is a big deal is the fact that Nimrod works for a supervillain organization, and therefore another guy in, it almost looks like prison attire, and it very possibly is prison attire, because when he busted out, he just never stopped wearing his prison clothes. He walks out and it is none other than Numbskull. He has a titanium skull like face. His whole skull is basically Deathstro from G.I. Joe. It's like a living metal head, and he's wearing an orange jumpsuit. And he comes in, he probably stands like 8 feet tall, so he's much bigger than a normal person would be as well. As he walks into the room and cracks his knuckles by bridging his fingers together and stretching out, and there's a crackle of energy that happens when he cracks all of his knuckles with a resounding 8 crackles, and he grins, and you can see his metal teeth and the metal insides of his mouth.
Papa?
What do you do?
Father?
Funny.
I just want to point out, Solarian is currently in a fight right now with a bad guy. None of you know who this bad guy is because only XP has seen him and XP knows nothing. That bad guy is named Lame Brain. So,
Adora sees these two bad guys and says, you know, to herself, I'm not really a fan of being irradiated, but Metal Man, I could probably take Metal Man. That's my thoughts. So I'm going to go and...
Right, because we all can see those in the comic book.
Yeah, you know, well, you can if you do a little thought bubble. I'm going to be a bull in a china shop, and I'm going to directly engage our Metal Man and potentially cause huge environmental damage to the environment around me. I would like to run in and punch the shit out of his face.
His metal face?
Yeah.
Get it.
I'm strong. Maybe I'll grab a couch to swing it at him. I like that. Okay, so Adora, peeking around the corner of the bottom of the stairs, is going to do a mini squat down to launch up in the air and attempt to smash down the chandelier. Is it above Nimrod? I'm going to do that. That sounds amazing.
Okay.
Does yeah. sound amazing.
All right. So
if I need to like punch the roof where the chandelier is being held, that's what I'll do. I think that might be the best way to get it to like undo and use the bull in the china shop to cave everything onto Nimrod and hopefully stop him for a little bit or delay him.
in this instance, it doesn't feel like you're directly engaging a threat. You're unleashing your powers, which would not provoke that in a China shop move. That when you are unleashing your powers, I'm going to say that instead, what your goal is, you want to directly engage a threat with this chandelier. Yeah. So you're going to leap up, punch the roof of the chandeliers to cause the chandelier to fall down on Nimrod's head.
Yeah.
Directly engage a threat because you're trying to do him damage.
Yes. I was thinking, would Terry see that she's jumping up onto the chandelier? Because what I'm thinking, I've got my laser. And so, because I was like, oh, I don't want her to like lose momentum. Could I shoot the top of the chandelier where it's connected into the base? So then she just grabs
the
chandelier.
That's where Bo is punching.
Yes.
Bo isn't grabbing the chandelier at all. Bo is punching the roof of the building where the chandelier is connected so that the whole thing comes tumbling down.
Damn it.
With Bo on top of it.
I was like going to shoot it at the base and then you could grab and smash it down.
Well, you know what? If Bo fails, then you could spend team to help Bo do that.
Smart.
I got a 9.
However, you are what condition?
I'm angry.
All right, so you don't have to worry about that at all. You have a 9 plus.
Yeah.
Or is that total?
I got a 10.
All right, because you're plus 2 on danger,
yeah.
Right? Okay.
I can't math.
All right, so you've gotten a 10. You get to pick 2. And in this instance here, you get to pick 3. And you're going to do unconscionable, terrible things to the environment around you.
Yeah.
Because you are a bull in a china shop.
Yes. And so I'm going to, first of all, avoid / resist their blows.
Sure.
I'm going to protect myself in this. I'm going to create an opportunity for my allies.
Who are you creating an opportunity for?
I'm going to create an opportunity for Terry.
All right. That'll be the last thing you do. What's the next one?
And then I'm going to impress George.
No. The opposition.
Oh, okay.
George is not the opposition.
I'm going to frighten opposition. He didn't know where it was coming from. He's now...
I'm going to get to choose which of those three. I don't think it's fair because I never get to decide what the emotional is. Fine. So I'm going to say that you surprise the opposition by causing the chandelier to shatter to the ground. There is an additional difficulty now because there are shards of crystal everywhere on the ground. So if you do happen to take a powerful blow from someone, part of that will be the scrapes and cuts that you get from being shoved across a granite floor strewn with shards of broken glass. Chandelier comes cascading down, knocks Nimrod to the ground, Adora riding the top of it, landing on top of it, and rolling away before Nimrod can lash out at Adora. An opportunity has been created for Terry Chase. What would you like to do?
I'm going to grab the wires that were attached to the chandelier, because I'm guessing it's not like an actual it's not a fire chandelier. It's like a electrical one because they upgraded it, you know. Fire safety code and all. So when she was writing it down, there's like the electrical wires that are coming out of the ceiling. And I'm going to grab those electrical wires quickly and use that to like wrap up Nimrod.
Nimrod is 12 feet tall, laying underneath a broken
chandelier.
How are you going to get the cables underneath him?
Are any of his like arms like splayed out or anything?
Sure. He's definitely splayed out.
Okay.
What is it your goal? Your goal is to try to tie him down?
Incapacitate him. Yeah. Like make it so he can't move.
That is very hard to do.
Yeah.
As your little character. Do you have a move that lets you better able to do that?
Got a laser. It's not very helpful. Is this where I do game face? While he's prone on the ground, I'm going to run in and try and stab him with my sword.
Which sword?
Oh, wait, I don't have my sword, do I?
Yeah, what sword?
I'm going to shoot him with my laser
while
he's prone on the ground.
Absolutely. And you get to use that as a move. So yeah. Roll to directly engage a threat.
Aha! 11. So, and then plus danger. So still 11.
Excellent. So yeah, you definitely rolled. You get to pick 2.
I am going to create an opportunity for my allies.
Okay.
And I am going to take something from Nimrod.
And that is?
Is there any kind of like a power source for his suit?
You don't know.
I was going to say, I'm going to take his helmet, but then I realize it's made out of freaking radiation. Can't do that. I guess I'm going to do one of the bottom things to the opposition.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
But I'll let you choose because that is you.
Yeah. I will indicate that he is also frightened of your laser. So it punches past his radiation. However, when it does, it creates a hole in the radiation and radiation spews out towards you. Terry Chase, roll to take a powerful blow.
6. And when I go to take a powerful blow, you're someone that's more powerful than me, right?
No.
Damn it. Okay. Well,
on a miss, you've stood strong. Mark potential.
I have completed potential.
Again?
Yeah.
Wow.
Jeez. I'm sorry. I'll stop completing potential so much.
You gotta roll better.
Nimrod begins to glow with a blinding red light as everything in the armor, this gaseous substance, starts to pulse and move more rapidly, and it glows even brighter. And he reaches out with a hand and he blasts his hand at Bo, who is the closest to him at this point. And I need Bo to roll to take a powerful blow as another intended blast of searing red radiation lashes out at Bo.
Can Expay try and jump in front of it?
Yes, you can roll to defend your friend. If you would like to leap from the top of it as well to bowl Bo out of the way.
Yeah.
Kate, I think that looks heroic and theatrical. Go ahead. So when you're rolling to defend, you roll plus savior. How'd you do?
On a defend, I have a 7.
All right. It costs yourself. You're going to expose yourself to danger. You'll be rolling to take the powerful blow instead.
Yep.
For PC threats, because it's a threat to a PC, they're going to take -2 on their roll to take a powerful blow. On a 7 to 9, you expose yourself to cost, retribution, or judgment. It's going to cost you.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
And does that clear my guilty?
Yeah.
Yay.
They're not going to roll at all. You're going to roll to take a powerful blow instead.
Kyle,
yeah.
Is it too ridiculous if George also jumps in as well?
It's too late.
Okay.
The roll has already occurred. You've rolled to take a powerful blow. That is 4, I think, at most. 5. You have 2 conditions.
Well, I just cleared one.
So you've... One condition. That's a 4. That's a miss. You can mark potential. Okay. We've rolled around on the ground. Now, Nimrod is laying there, has gotten to a knee and fired a blast at Bo. Bo, before it can hit you, strike you, X-Pay launches from the second floor, lands, bowling you out of the way and scattering you across the ground. Little minor micro abrasions as the crystal glitters and glistens off your skin because you're really strong and you have durable skin. So you just end up with this like crystal dust all over you, like a Twilight vampire. X-Pay weathers the blow from the radiation as it cascades over them to no effect.
You're impressive. I'm super impressed. Just saying.
Thanks, Dora.
George, what are you doing?
George is going to run in and I'm assuming he's kind of covered.
George is already there.
Is going to go up to, I'm assuming he's covered in shards of chandelier, right? Because there's stuff everywhere.
Sure.
So he's going to kind of brush it off, but Neil over him is going to grab him by his collar he kind of has and sit him up so he can yell at him.
He's okay.
Going to have a conversation.
Nimrod is 12 feet tall,
yeah.
Wearing glowing radioactive armor. You can't grab him because his armor kind of protects him from that. So you run in covered in a couple of cut on your cheek from the glass shards. And you point your finger at Nimrod and you say,
"Why can't you leave Cass and her family alone? Just let us take Alejandra and go."
What do you want out of that?
Generally, he wants to engage in a conversation, but first he needs to deal with because he doesn't understand why he's kidnapped Alejandra, but he figures it has to do with Cass, because that's her daughter, right? Or granddaughter, I forget how that worked. But it's still a family thing, so all he knows is he picked on Cass, now he's picking on Alejandra, so he's going to do what he did before and defend Cass via Alejandra. So he's trying to get him to do what he said.
Okay, cool. Does not sound like you're trying to provoke him at all into a particular course of action. So Numbskull begins walking with more menace each step in crunch of crystal glass underfoot further into the room. And Nimrod gets up and he says,
"Well, if it isn't George Grady."
Well, if it isn't Rod. The Nimrod.
It's,
I hate being called that.
And he glows even more angrily as you provoke him, not through intent.
You always were a hothead.
What do you want, George Grady?
I told you, I just want Alejandra safe and we'll get out of here. Can be a bully to someone else.
I don't know who you're talking about.
And he just has a confused look, just like for a beat. They're just like, George's face kind of falls and he's like, "Huh?" Right? And then maybe there's a verbal "Huh?" out of his bubble. He goes, "Alejandra." She's...
Yeah, saying the name louder with more intensity does not make it any better.
The chick you kidnapped, you idiot. You Nimrod.
Oh, you mean Zed?
Yeah. We knew that was her code name. Yeah, we knew that.
I believe that was her code name.
We caught her breaking in. I didn't kidnap anyone. It's good to have you here, though. We have unfinished business.
Sure do.
And sing with the enemy, and I'm not gonna do this on my own.
This concludes this episode of Tavern Tales.
A Curated Masks, a new generation game set in the superhero teenage world of Halcyon City.
Our intro and outro music is the song Tavern Tales by the Bad Billy Band. You can find out more about the Bad Billy Band on iTunes or at www.badbillyband.com or follow them on Twitter at Bad Billy Band. Thanks for listening. Please feel free to leave us a review on iTunes or find us on Twitter at Tavern_Tales. We'll be back next week with more of the adventure.